Don't worry, you haven't been asleep for 4 months. It's December. It isn't Oscar time. But the subject today is indeed film music, and joining us is NPR's number one film music fan, Andy Trudeau. Welcome back, Andy.
Hey, Leanne.
This time we're not discussing gold statuettes, but the NPR 100, a collection of music works deemed by listeners, staff, and experts to be the 100 most significant American compositions of the 20th century. And included on that list is the score for a major motion picture that was first heard 61 years ago this month. The film remains immensely popular to this day, and I think it's safe to say it's become part of the basic DNA of this country, if not the world. Andy, you've got to tell us, why is the music that Max Steiner wrote for Gone with the Wind on this list of the NPR 100?
Well, Leanne, some scores, some pieces of music are important because they break important new ground. Others are a culmination. They really bring together everything that's come before. They create a model that then becomes imitated by much that comes after. This is what Gone with the Wind is. It broke no new ground, but it really did represent the culmination of the classic Hollywood symphonic score. This is an aesthetic that says foreground is as important as background. It's rich in style, it's full of themes, and it's unabashedly romantic and emotional in purpose.
So let's get our cast of characters in place. First, the composer. Tell us a little bit about Max Steiner.
Max was one of the breed of European composers who settled in Hollywood and really dominated the film language of that era in the 1930s and 40s. You can also think of Eric Korngold, Franz Waxman, or Dmitri Tiomkin. He was born in Vienna, came out of that tradition. His family was in the music business there. He worked through the chain of operettas, musicals, came to Hollywood. A real important point to make about Max Steiner was that he was truly a pioneer. Max believed that music could sit underneath dialogue, work with the film to enhance and amplify the emotions, the characters, the drama of the moment. This was quite a radical idea because prior to Max really coming onto the scene, film music was limited to main titles, a little bit of source music in the body of the score, and something at the end. Max said, if I can get underneath some of those scenes, I can really do things. And he really proved his point with a film called King Kong.
That was 1933, 6 years before Gone with the Wind.
And that tells us how new this whole art was. This was revolutionary art being made.
Well, walk us then through Gone with the Wind. Of course, it's been abbreviated to GWTW.
Well, for this score, Max wrote themes for certainly the four main characters and many of the main supporting characters. The character of Gerald O'Hara, Scarlett O'Hara's father, is played by Thomas Mitchell. It's an Irish character, and I think we're going to hear a little bit of that lilt in this theme that Max wrote for the character of Gerald O'Hara.
The hills of Ireland, walking down the path.
But there's also a sense of easygoing to life. He repeats the theme. And now he'll show another side to the character, the more serious side. Tenderness there.
A little melancholic. I mean, this is all happening before the war is starting when we first meet Gerald O'Hara.
That's
so
right.
Things are very blissful at this time.
But in a way, I think he's also giving you a character who doesn't go very deep. This is not a profound man. This is a man who lives on the surface. And I think that's the one that's characterized there. Another character is the one that's played by Hattie McDaniel.
Mammy.
Character of Mammy, that's correct. Here, I think, we're in territory where 1939, if you will, visions of individuals, society, racial perceptions are very different than they are now. I'm impressed by the way that Max needs to play to that scene, and Mammy is somewhat of a stereotype, but I think you'll find in her theme, the one that he writes, there's a bit of humanity there. There we go. That's the Mammy theme.
Right. Cakewalk.
A bit of a stereotype, I would say. Now he adds a little bit of sass to it, if you will. And now he's going to work up the theme a little bit. Play with its setting, play with its speed. It's very... This is how he's going to, and it's going to lead us somewhere else. This is how the themes work in this kind of film score. They're there, they express the moment, they lead us somewhere else.
But it's not overt minstrel music that he's using here.
That's correct. I think he was really trying to deal with the character, his perception of the character.
You talked about Max Steiner using the music to perception of character, but you also talked about emotions. Talk about places in the score where that happens.
Music is such a profoundly emotional art. It really gets right to you in ways that you can't really explain. And in this film, he used it to underscore a number of emotional moments, but certainly the key ones are those two love relationships that lie really at the center of this story, which is the love between Ashley and Melanie and the love between Ashley and Scarlett. Let's first listen to the Max Steiner's theme for the love between Ashley and Melanie. Almost courtly, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Lushly romantic.
But proper.
Yes.
There's a bit of formalness in the relationship. And when you're seeing the scene, this is playing subconsciously on you. You're not focusing on the music. You're bringing in the whole scene, and Max is really underlying that. Mm. Now, for a difference, let's go to the Max Steiner theme for the love between Ashley and Scarlett. Much more passionate.
Oh, hotter, much hotter.
Right. There's no courtliness here.
No. it's raw.
Well, exactly. And once again, Max is underlying that moment in the film and that relationship and really giving it a subconscious connection with you. Other things that composers do in this kind of classic romantic scores, it really gives them an opportunity to, in a way, stand on the sidelines and make editorial comments. Early in the picture, Scarlett marries, in part of her plan, if you will, she marries Melanie's brother, who marches off to war full of images of heroism and, ironically, dies in boot camp, if you will, of complications from measles. When the word comes back and that moment is on the screens, Max is really making editorial comments here. We're going to hear him quoting Taps, which is a very mournful tune. He's going to make it pompous. And then he provides a little snide remark where he's going to make a very slight quote of the Stephen Foster tune, Masters in the Cold, Cold Ground. This is the death of the giant.
Big and bold.
And a little bit of comment there. Listen to the celeste. Masters in the cold, cold ground.
Andy, I notice we have not talked about the one theme that I think most of us connect with the movie, the Tara theme, the one that's been absorbed into our culture. Many may remember it being used on Million Dollar Movie. What are you, saving the best for last?
Exactly. Partly saving the best for last and also wanting to make a point in that, in my mind, great film music is not just a great main title. What a composer does within the body of the film, how he utilizes his materials, scores it, organizes it, that's as interesting to me as whether or not the tune at the top happens to be a good one. Now, in this case, it's a great one. There's no doubt about it that this has come to represent Hollywood films of the golden age, I think, for everyone. It's important to know that this theme was not just written to be a pretty tune. Max Steiner, when he wrote it, really was trying to convey a sense of what Tara was all about. And I came across a quote. This is Max talking now about what he tried to put into this theme. This is what he said. Tara is more than a plantation, more than a fine old house saturated with proud and sad and always loving memories. Tara is a living thing, giving and demanding life.
Thank you. Music by Max Steiner for Gone with the Wind. It's one of the musical works that form the NPR 100, NPR's millennium list of the 100 most significant music pieces of the 20th century. You can find Gone with the Wind and the other 99 on NPR's website, www.npr.org. Our guide, once again, has been Andy Trudeau. And Andy, I guess I'll see you at Oscar time. Thanks a lot.
I'm looking forward to it, Leanne.